Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And it was a warm week, well, or a scorching hot week. And in the weekly Glenora Gazette, Gene Pierce publishes Glenora. It said they are high reading at Glenora's Vineyards, 94.8 degrees. And again, this is with some moderating effects of the lake. It still got up to 94.8. And he also mentioned that Cuca Lake, he kind of follows the temperatures of Cuca and Seneca Lakes, and Seneca Lake was, or Cuca Lake was 80 degrees, and that matches the high lake temperature last year, and it's only mid-July with some more warm weather coming, so that's Cuca Lake is going to be balmy this summer. Also, kind of keeps you up to date on what's happening in the vineyards, and they've been doing some leaf pulling. So a number of varieties, well, a couple things. One, certain trellis systems allow you to pull leaves and expose the fruit. Not all trellis systems do, but the way they trellis the vinifera in particular makes it crucial to take those leaves off. And I didn't think about direction or anything, but Gene mentions that they generally are pulling leaves so that the sun can reach the grapes in the morning and dry them off from, you know, humidity, moisture overnight. And the idea is to dry them off as early as possible in the day, and then there's less chance of a variety of different diseases. Now, it also gets more sun exposure to the grapes so that they ripen a little bit better. Expensive thing to do. They basically go down and they're just ripping leaves off. You might imagine them going out and snipping here, snipping there. And when I've seen some of this leaf pulling operation going, they just rip them off as fast as they can, because it's, you know, it's time is money in the vineyard, and they're trying to get through acres and acres of vineyards. They should post a video of it sometime. Or at least maybe I saw someone who was doing faster leaf pulling than most people. It was kind of fun to watch. So that also, for visitors, people driving by, it allows you to see the grapes even more, which is kind of cool. I think it was maybe Standing Stones Vineyards. I think who else's vineyards on the east side of Seneca Lake. And I was driving down. You could see the fruit zone really distinctly. And this was closer to harvest when the grapes had turned red, or were, you know, the green, the white grapes, though they all start out green, the white grapes often go kind of a pinkish white, especially some like Gewürztraminer. And you could really see this very distinct zone of fruit, and it looks cool. But beyond that, the reason they do it for sun exposure, and that also helps with a variety of different diseases that attack the vines. So, but they can't afford to do this with all the grapes. Some of them are more expensive than others. Vinifera, Chardonnay, Riesling in particular, those are the ones that Glenora is targeting for this leaf pulling. And again, the grapes are pretty small right now, but it's a good time to clear out those areas. I think they also have machines that do this and kind of suck the leaves off the vines as they go down the row, maybe even off of both rows. I saw a video of it somewhere a while ago. I can't remember whether they were sucking leaves off both rows or just one, but there is some machinery that does it. And then they also do some hedging. And if you have any grapevines in your backyard or front yard, wild ones, or, you know, Chardonnay or Niagara like I have, You can see why they have to do hedging, because otherwise these grapevines would just grow into one big nest all knitted together, and you wouldn't be able to walk down a row with all the vines. They grow like mad during the summer months. And so they take machines down and just kind of like creating a hedge just so people can get through to work in those rows to harvest it in the fall. So there's more air circulation, more sun exposure. So it's not just leaf pulling, but also taking off all that wild growth that is not needed for the vines. So you might have this idea that the vineyards kind of take care of themselves in the summer, and nothing could be further from the truth. They're out there constantly cultivating for weed control, monitoring for pests, checking the grapes, again, pulling the leaves, hedging the vines, all kinds of work going on all summer long. And it's a reason to have a grapevine in your own yard, so you can see just how crazy they grow. It's amazing. They'll be climbing your house before you know it. Grapevines don't cause some of the problems that wisteria and bittersweet do that I mentioned yesterday. They don't tend to spread underground. And they do attach themselves to things, but not in the way that English ivy does, for example, and it'll ruin the siding. So grapevines are, if you're going to have a vine in your yard, not a bad choice. Trumpet vines, often people choose those for hummingbirds, are kind of in that category of wisteria, which means they can pull down your house, or at least cover the entire house. But grapevines, again, not so bad, but it will amaze you how fast they grow. And maybe you can make your own domates, rolled grape leaves. You got to use the really tender new leaves to do it. One of our neighbors made some with leaves off our vines 1 year. Really delicious, but you got to catch the leaves at the right stage while they're really tender. And it's kind of fun to make your own. A couple notes this week, several from listeners who were just found out that I'd switched to online only at this point, and had some really kind words about the shows and all the things they discovered because they were listening to these shows over the last 8 years, in the case of one person, all the places that they wouldn't have ever heard of, and this was a person who said they didn't even drink wine. They got some recommendations. They introduced about a dozen friends to Dr. Constantine Frank's story of coming to this country and their wines, and been down with family and friends to visit Anthony Road, went to Hurt Orchards, done a lot of the things that I'd mentioned over the years here, both sponsors and just interviews and things that I've been doing. So if you have some favorite places you've discovered because of listening, let me know. Email me, michael@saverlife.com. You never know who's out there listening. I really appreciate finding out, sort of connecting with listeners. So send me a note with a photo of your favorite bottle of wine or some flowers in your garden. michael@saverlife.com. Had a Fox Run Dry Rosé just yesterday. Posted a photo on Instagram. And I think I'm up to 21 posts on Instagram, which is not many. Not too impressive, but it'll grow. And a lot of them are gardening-related posts, but we'll be adding some more wine and food ones and things about the Finger Lakes. This dry rosé came out of the refrigerator and was kind of sweating just the condensation with the warm weather. And it made kind of a cool picture. So, and delicious wine, spectacular dry rosé. And it's often promoted in the spring because that's when they release it. The 2019 released, you know, in March, April timeframe. Some wineries sell out of it fairly quickly. Some sell out during the summer, some during the early fall. And then the problem is you don't have any or very many choices by Thanksgiving. So my point in the Instagram post was to stock up on your dry rosé, some of your favorites, and make sure you have some for Thanksgiving, because I think it is the perfect complement to a red and a white wine on the table. Three glasses per person, small glasses. I wouldn't pour full glasses if you're doing three different wines. And then people can have more of the one that they like the best or pairs the best with the food. But I think dry rosé is a great example of just a spectacular food wine. Really is. And the colors, is, of course, is beautiful. Some of the dry rosés are, you know, fairly bright in color. Many of them are very muted, almost straw pink, very, very, very light pink. And I think the cool thing about the light pink ones or barely pink ones is that when you see it, you think your brain just says it's not going to have as much flavor. Of course, white wines have flavor, so why wouldn't a very, very light pink one have flavor? But or maybe it's just me, but that's what my brain tells me. And then when you taste it, yeah, you realize it's got some phenomenal flavors. And these are red grapes that make a dry rosé. So in the case of Fox Runs, it was Lemberger and Pinot Noir blend. There's a lot of Cabernet Franc and Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Zweigelt. A long list of grapes that are used to make dry rosé in the Finger Lakes and around New York State. So look for them. And again, stock up on a few so that you have some in the fall for the holidays. FoxRunVineyards.com, you can get details on them. They are shipping wine. A lot of the wineries continuing to ship wine. This weekend, as Gene Pierce noted, would have been the Finger Lakes Wine Festival, and the impact of that being canceled is tremendous. 30,000 visitors? I think something like that would have been at Watkins Glen this weekend, staying in hotels, bed and breakfasts, many of them going out to eat, visiting the wineries, and they would buy cases of wine at the Finger Lakes Wine Festival. A lot of people use that as a reason to stock up, and they have really a great system for paying for your wine at one of the winery booths, and then the winery would send that to the pickup area so you could go get all the different wines that you'd purchased in one place as you're driving out of the festival. And so the cancellation of this festival hurts many wineries' sales, dozens, if not many dozens of cases for some of the wineries. And you go up and down the list of events and things that have been canceled. The number of visitors, of course, is down. Gene Pierce did mention that sales actually in the first half of July, even though visitor counts were down, sales were up, partly just because people that are here are buying more wine, and that's a good thing. But again, across the board, the tourism economy is just limping along, really perhaps trying to survive this season more than anything, as the news from other states is not good. Many other states are facing severe challenges with the COVID virus. And I just checked the Johns Hopkins website for their 7-day moving average of percent positive cases, and New York State continues to hold steady or decline a little bit. We are at, I think, 1% as of yesterday's, including yesterday's results of testing across New York State. And that compares to something like 8.5% nationwide, and some states that are 12, 14, 18 or 19% positive cases. And so we have a small enough number of positive cases that the contact tracing can actually be used. If you have 10,000 cases a day, as some states have, you can't contact trace those people. There's just too many. You can't hire enough people to do that contact tracing. And so that's why we've got to keep the levels low in New York State. Connecticut, New Jersey also doing well in terms of numbers. And so wear a mask, do that out of respect for other people, and do that to protect people in your family and those around you. If you are out in public, it will protect you from getting it to some degree, but and it's really to protect others. And it's unfortunately become a political issue. That's the choice of the some of the key leaders of this country, so-called leaders, make this into a political issue rather than listening to the scientists and the epidemiologists, the people who understand pandemics. And it feels like we're watching a slow motion horror movie, slow motion in a sense, because when you have 10,000 cases a day, it doesn't really matter whether they're young or old, or you know, because if they're young, they are going to be interacting with older people in their jobs and their families on the street, and it's going to get much worse. So, again, I think in general, our listeners take this pretty seriously, and be careful and respect the businesses who want you to be careful. And to wear a mask and practice social distancing. That's how we're going to keep this economy going and not go backwards and have to shut it down like some other states are moving towards. And unfortunately, they're moving towards that too late to save a whole lot of just a really ugly situation. So New York State has had some terrible months in April, March, April, and May. We've done really well in keeping the rates low after surviving that period. So again, the restaurants are at 50% capacity. Keep in mind that is not the kind of capacity that is going to keep those restaurants in business. As I've said a bunch of times, you know, restaurants struggle to survive at 100% capacity, much less something as low as 50%. So we got to prove that the rates can stay low so that restaurants can open. Otherwise, they're going to be in deep trouble, far more than they are now. If you have comments, questions, you can always email me, michael@saverlife.com. Let me know what you think, and appreciate hearing from our listeners. I saw a note from Joe DiPanzio. He is a local winemaker, former police officer, and has won a ton of awards. Just won a best of show for his Traminette Aramella blend. And the American Wine Society in Pittsburgh had their competition, and often people in our area send their homemade wines to, and commercial wineries do too. American Wine Society has a commercial category in their wine competitions too. But Again, this was a recent one in Pittsburgh, and Joe DiPanzio brought back Best in Show. Again, highlighting, you know, not just what commercial winemakers in New York State are doing, but also the home winemakers. And that Traminette Aramella blend is kind of a cool story. Both those grapes were created, not in a lab, but out in the field, cross-pollinated. These are new grapes, relatively new in the case of Traminette, from the Geneva Experiment Station. Traminette has been around as a named grape for a couple of decades, but it was developed by Cornell many years ago. And Aramella, one of the most recent grapes. Arundel, I think, is the other one that were named just a couple of years ago. They had been numbered varieties for a little while, but Cornell is actually using some gene technology, not to change the genes, but to they cross-pollinate and create new varieties of grapes. And usually in the past, they would have to plant those out and grow them for 4 years before they produced any grapes, and then grow them for another maybe 4 to 10 years so they could see how hardy they were, disease resistance, the quality of the grapes. Really, it took decades to figure out whether the new grapes that they were creating, again, naturally, not this is not genetically modified, but they are using genes and looking at the genomic profile of the new grapevines to see if they have the key markers for resistance. And if they do, then those are ones that they'll grow out. If they don't, they discard them. So they can start to limit the number of grapes that they're growing out and have a more, just a better likelihood of success with those grapes, more confidence in them being disease resistant, which is a big one in our humid climate. I don't need to tell you after this past week how humid it can be in the Finger Lakes and in New York State in general. So that's one of the ways Cornell is shortening the time period. And so Aramella and Arundel, two of the newest named varieties, have been in development for relatively short period compared to grapes like Traminette. So kind of cool that Joe DiPanzio blended those two, and that white blend won Best of Show at the American Wine Society in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure I'll be sending that along to the National American Wine Society competition. Joe also won a bunch of other, I think a number of other medals at the Pittsburgh show. The local home winemaking society is very active. They have lots of really great winemakers as part of that. Some of them have been making wine for decades and lots of experience, and very, very willing to help people who want to learn how to make wine. And they have a wonderful newsletter, inexpensive to join. So if you're thinking about or just want to learn more about wine, it would be a great organization to join. We have a whole bunch of members over the years that have won major awards around the country for wine. And those include some that have now become commercial winemakers. Jan Klepetsky comes to mind first. He won tons of awards as an amateur, and now for quite a few years has been working at Young Summer Winery as their winemaker. So again, if you want details on the Home Winemaking Association, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. Herd Orchards is got UPIC going on Thursdays through Saturdays. They're asking you to make an appointment and bring a mask with you in case other people out picking. You do need to make an appointment for picking cherries and raspberries and blueberries. Cherry season's not going to last long, so try and get out and do that this week if you really enjoy cherries, or go out to their farm market, which is open Wednesdays through Saturdays right now. And you can pre-order. So that would be wise. Don't drive out there and discover they're sold out of, you know, the raspberries and blueberries and cherries that you wanted. Call them and place an order. They also bring in their harvest boxes on Thursdays into the city. Over in Brighton area, they have a drop-off, and you can meet them there if you want to reserve a harvest box. And that'll come with some of these seasonal fruit in it, along with some baked goods and a gorgeous flower bouquet. And you could order some extra quarts of berries and cherries and things, too. It's the Brighton Farmers Market going on today till 1 o'clock, and a chance to buy directly from our local farmers. Tuesday will be the Westside Farmers Market at St. Monica's Church on Genesee Street. And also Eagle Crest Vineyards. Willoline posted that you can bring lawn games and picnic and enjoy the grounds at Eagle Crest Vineyards. Take a stroll down to the lake. It's a little bit more of a hike. It's kind of a steep way down there, but fun to go down and see Hemlock Lake, or maybe stop at the north end of the lake while you're down in that area. But the tasting room will be open for tastings, and again, they're encouraging people to make use of their big lawn area. They have some glamping that they're working on the facilities for that. So cool things coming this summer at Eagle Crest Vineyards. We'll be back next Saturday. Gardening, restaurants, discover the Finger Lakes. That's 9 a.m. next Saturday. Stay cool this week, another hot week on the way. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.